Welcome to the Anti-Pattern Podcast, your ticket to the revolution in digital thread technologies. Please welcome, live from Mannheim, Germany, your hosts, Christian Mucheo and Michael Fenning.
Hello and welcome to the 27th episode of the Anti-Pattern Podcast. Today, Michael and me are still in Mannheim, a little bit exhausted from our business trip the last 2 days. And we've been to the ProStep IVIP Symposium 2026
Frankfurt.
In Frankfurt, right? And yeah, it was amazing to meet well-known people as well as new people. We had a little booth in the startup area that was a little bit around the corner.
The cheap area.
The cheap area, but it turned out that it was a strategic good place because we had food by the side.
And coffee.
And coffee without a waiting line.
Yep.
And the toilets.
Oh, yeah.
So many people went by our booth and stopped to get us knowing.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And usually people say that this is a class reunion.
Mm-hmm. Right?
And inside that class reunion, we also have like a family event usually.
So all of the kind of
the former researchers from the chair of virtual product development in Kaiserslautern. We usually take one picture each year.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have it. I did not publish it yet. So this is something I need to do.
It was a little problem.
It was a little
by problem. The photographer.
We have something to publish. So anyway, yeah.
Yeah. So what was it about this year? So this year's title was The Next Frontier, Agentic AI and the Rise of the Software-Defined Industry. So software-defined vehicles is,
right.
I think, the most prominent area. Yeah, and question is, what did we learn?
Multiple things. The question is, did we really finally learn a lot, or do we just raise more questions?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the latter, to be honest. So there is a lot of open questions in the whole debate around how can we use industrial AI included in business processes, in the work of an engineer, right? What does it actually mean? What are the drawbacks? Or what are the pitfalls, right? So we had a lot of discussion around this, and we came up with three major topics or three major points that we took from those 2 days. Not a complete list, definitely not completely answered. But something that we are currently really, really digging more into. And the three things are, the first of it, AI just kills SaaS applications. And we now kind of better understand why this is and why people keep on saying this, right? This was one thing that came up multiple times, actually. The second thing, and that goes back to the keynote, I think. I'm pretty sure it goes back to the keynote, but it came up multiple times as well, is what is AI actually in, if you compare it historically, right? What is AI in a historical context? Is AI going to be some kind of utility like electricity, right? And you just use it. And the question is, who actually makes the money with it, right? Is it the ones building large LLMs, right? Large LLMs doesn't make any sense. LLMs, right? or who's actually making the money? The ones that are using it, right? So, and people said, well, the ones using it will make the money, right? Like with electricity, right? People that build the light bulbs, right? People that build transformers, whatever it is, right? They made the money. And people that are just providing electricity, they became utility, right? Infrastructure.
Which doesn't mean that they can't be successful.
Yeah, of course, right? And yeah, let's see if that actually holds and if that comparison is valid, right? I guess this is one question that is the most open one to me, right? Because this is not answered yet, and there is no real evidence in the real world yet that would allow to make such a statement, to be honest. And then third, of course, the human factor plays a big role, right? Engineers are creative people usually, right? Some of the creative work can be done by AI, and not all of it, right? The question is, where's the line? How do people work together with AI in an industrial setting, right? And what are potential pitfalls? What is the, let's say, cognitive challenges that we will see, right? How do we avoid them? That's the third thing that we came up with. These are the three main topics that today we want to talk about, right? And I guess we Do you want to start with number one?
Yeah, let's dive into these three questions. And this SaaS is dead is it's a quote from Satya Nadella in a very famous interview. It was around a year ago. It was published, or maybe a little bit longer, where Satya Nadella, CEO of Microsoft, said pointed out that SaaS might be dead. Mm-hmm. And the question is why? What does it mean? Why is it dead? It's not dead. There are still SaaS applications on the market.
Right.
But does it mean for upcoming applications? What does it mean for the future of existing applications?
Yeah, and we have a certain view on it, right? And it's our special, right, subjective view on that question. Because I feel like the question really is, what is SaaS? So what do you mean when you say this is a SaaS application? You can mean multiple things. Let's say two things, right? The first thing is, there is software delivered as a service and paid for by subscription. This is what you could potentially say is SaaS, right? Mm-hmm. And I usually keep on saying that SaaS is basically just the business model, the way you deliver software, right, to your end customer. It has not so much to do with the underlying architecture, right? You can build cloud-native tools without a SaaS model. It's possible, right?
Yeah.
There is no natural connection between the two. Right.
Right.
Most of them are kind of in this way, right? But there is no guarantee that it needs to be always like this, right? This is the first thing. The second thing is what people understand when they hear SaaS applications, is there is a service delivered to me. It's static. It is take it or leave it, out of the box software that you cannot change, that you have to use in the same way as everybody else. Mm-hmm. Because that makes it cheaper to deliver, cheaper to develop for the software developer and you as a user, right? You, as you don't have any customization, is not possible, right? There is no cost involved with customization services, right? Mm-hmm. So if you mean the second one and not the first one, then our opinion on this is, yes, it is dying, and yes, for good reasons. And we actually like it.
I think you mentioned already the problem that historically seen before this SaaS, age of SaaS, so to say, you had the problem of having these monoliths which were very expensive to customize. And then there were upcoming these SaaS tools with a very narrow perspective on your problem and solving this little problem perfectly.
Yeah.
And to be honest, together with all these cloudification, also very nice to integrate.
Yeah.
And I think the problem is that most of the companies now have a zoo of SaaS applications and they are paying subscription for every single piece of software.
Yep.
And this is a real problem in the end.
Yep. It is a real problem. And my feeling is actually that SaaS is dying for good reasons, and we actually like it, and it deserves to die, at least in our domain, right, in PLM and a little bit beyond, right, enterprise software, basically. What is, from a strategic point of view, happening in the moment? Usually you talk about disruptive, right, strategies, right? This is not even disruptive, this is more, because the introduction of artificial intelligence make... You may think about the use cases that we came up with, and then we published videos on this, is we use AI to customize, configure our system, right? Build business logic by prompting, configure data model by prompting, and build connectors on the fly, right? If all of that is cloud native, connectors write themselves, right? Those kind of things. And why do I say this is not even a disruptive strategy? This is more. Clayton Christensen talked about disruptive versus dominant strategy. Mm-hmm. Dominant strategy means you can deliver something better, cheaper, compared to everybody else. And this is killing it. This is killing everybody else, right? If you're just a disruptive strategy, right, you are coming in from the low end of the market and you deliver you build yourself up and then compete later on with the big guys, right? If you have a dominant strategy and the technology is shifting in a way that it actually allows for such a dominant strategy, you kill them immediately, right? Because you are better and cheaper as everybody else. And this is maybe also wishful thinking from my end, right? But it looks like, it keeps on looking like With the use of AI, and if the quality increases more and more and more, you are able to build the exact software that someone needs, really, really custom, to the price of SaaS applications in the moment, or even cheaper, right? And if that happens, all static, out of the box, take it or leave it, SaaS applications in the market will be dead.
I definitely agree on that.
So let's see. Let's keep fingers crossed and all that, right? that actually happens, and maybe we are exactly at the right point in time here with our offering.
Yeah, looking to the second point. So you already brought up the analogy of AI as the electricity. So to say, the more sustainable way than what we learned before, that data is the new oil. And you raised the question, who makes the money? And this is really a good question, but as I also stated in the beginning, those companies offering the electricity have a very sustainable and a very money bringing business model at the moment, at least. What doesn't mean that somebody who uses the electricity for operating the machines, which generates value on the other side, could also have a sustainable business model and can make profits. So the analogy is good for me, so to say. Maybe you have more thoughts on that, but the electricity thing was a new thought for me. I never heard that before the ProStep Symposium.
Yeah, I heard before that people say it's going to get utility, right? Or I definitely heard before the term or the phrase that the ones that will actually make money with that are the people using it, right? I heard that many, many times before, but if we really think about it closer or in more detail, I'm not so 100% convinced that this is actually going to happen. I would love that to happen, right? Because we are also just using AI, right? We are not yet building any model ourselves, right? We're not doing this. We use this really, really deeply within the architecture. That is for sure, right? We're using it more than just, you know, have another developer that is called Claude or whatever, right? This is not what we do. Well, actually, we do it, but it's not only the thing that we do. We build it in our tool, right? We integrate really, really deeply in the architecture, but we're not developing LLMs, right? So, and the thing that gets me a little, I don't want to say anxious, but makes me unsure about it is, if I think about the use cases that we realized with the use of AI, none of them would be possible without it, right? So in other words, I know I talked in our development meeting about this, we have pieces of architecture that we already had, and we could have developed them early on, like 2 years, 3 years, 10 years ago, right? No matter. They are completely independent of AI, right? And then we have AI in the middle of all of this, right? We combine AI with no code, right? And say, okay, AI, if you understand how our modeling works, our meta model, then you can describe data models in our format, we can import it, and it's really, really nice, right? The thing is, the use case itself, the heavy lifting is done by AI and not by the architecture pieces that we delivered, right? Maybe you can say the combination makes it possible and AI is kind of the active role in it, right? Or whatever you mean with that. But still, it would not be possible without AI. So I'm not sure how the market in the end will decide who actually deserves what kind of, you know, value recognition, right? I'm not so sure about this.
Interesting thought. But I do not agree with it would be impossible without AI.
Okay.
I think it would have been possible, but at a totally different speed. I did not see what AI did for us, which we could not do by hand with much more time and personal effort.
So from a perspective of how we develop our software, I agree.
Yes,
of course. But think about our AI data modeler.
Yeah. Right?
Think about how we use AI to say, please, little Asian, go over there. There is a specification called whatever. Can you propose us a data model?
Yeah.
How would we do that without AI?
Googling, reading books.
Okay, people would do it.
Yeah, people would do it.
Yeah, yeah. And way longer. Yeah, so okay, yeah. I do agree, but it's,
But I think we see that AI is not just a hype. AI will stay. And I think, we had some weeks ago when Claude or what was it has had a hiccup.
Yeah.
You already saw that a whole industry stands still.
Yeah.
Worldwide.
Yeah.
And it's the same like if there is no electricity, there is a blackout. Then we, as a developed country, at least, have a big problem, and that will be maybe not today, but in some years, if the LLM and you are, if you are dependent on it and you are not running it by yourself, if this isn't there, you have a problem, like having no electricity.
Okay, so in other words, but that, you know, if it's not there, you have a problem, could also mean to keep it there, you need to pay, right? So to have it available. So in other words, you need to give money to the big LLM companies, right? But on the other hand, and it more comes to the point of, you know, this is going to be a utility, what about the standard models out there? The open source standard models that you get basically for free, right? What about their quality? Will the quality increase over the next years, right? And is it even the case that it gets cheaper, 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 so cheap that it becomes a utility by definition because everybody could do it? And then the question is, what about those big companies like Anthropic, like ChatGPT, OpenAI, right? What's then, right? What's happening then?
Yeah, and there also the analogy of energy fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Because it gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper to make your own power on your roof by photovoltaic.
Yeah.
And there is still a reason that I have a contract with my electricity provider.
I agree.
I could do all the, with enough space and enough money, I could do all my my energy for a very cheap price, but it doesn't make doesn't make sense to be dependent on my own thing. Maybe I want to have a backup.
Sure.
And more and more people are doing the energy by themselves, but they have this backup, and maybe more and more industries and companies will host their own LLMs in future and train, maybe even train them if it gets cheaper. But I see there's still, there's still space in the market for innovators. There will still be innovation that you don't have, but an innovative company and an innovative provider has. So,
It's
and the more and more I think about it, the more the analogy to electricity
fits.
Yeah.
And also, if you think about it getting cheaper and getting easier, so everybody could basically do it because the knowledge is there. That is all open source, right? The Transformer framework is there, right? You can basically just use it. And then that brings the question, if it's so easy to build it on your own, you will have a lot of competition, right? There will be a lot of people out there. So the likelihood of monopoly wins, right, is getting, it's getting lower, right? So there is no reason to have a big Anthropic that controls everybody and can bring down the whole industry, right? If the quality and the knowledge how to build it is spread along, you know, all over the place. And actually, good point. Yeah. So let's see. My point is still, the evidence I do not yet see in a huge amount, so to say. So I still think this needs some more time to actually say, yes, this is utility. I feel like it's not yet decided completely.
We are definitely not in the end of the development of AI.
Yeah, no. Of course not. Of course not.
And especially if you see, what are we using for? What are we as Elevating Patterns are using it for? And yes, we are using it for ourselves, as you mentioned. So we are, we take the help of the AI for programming purposes, but we also build it in our tool to help the administrator. And later on, when we have these domain-specific applications, we will help also the end user, so to say. And at the moment, of course, we have a focus on our modeling engine, so we are helping more the administrator in creating the data model. In just by prompting, and this is very, very interesting to see what is possible, or as you also said, bringing up new connectors very easily, at least to have an 80% version in seconds instead of having 100% version in weeks or months. That's amazing.
Definitely. And I was actually thinking about another use case, which would be an AI-powered enterprise architecture. What do I mean with that? If people are in front of a very flexible tool like ours, they keep on building data models, different ones, and not everybody knows what everybody else in the same company has created as a data model, right? I'm not saying that an end user should be able to do this. This should be something that admins do, or, you know, certain people, key users, right? But still, there could be overlap, right? Because not everybody understands everybody else's data models, right? Or descriptions, or, you know, specifications. So in other words, how about using AI to identify semantic overlap, right? There is something that could mean the same thing as over here. You just name it differently, right? Then there are some, you know, potential rules how you could identify something like this. Same ontologies tag as we brought it into the system, or two entity types that have basically the same properties. Why don't you call it the same as it, you know, carries the same information, right? So things like that. And this is, you know, something you can build upon, right? Because that will help make use of flexibility without having the drawback of a lot of, you know, noise, a lot of inconsistency, right?
Yeah, I definitely thought as you started your sentence with if things mean the same, I immediately thought about ontologies, not semantics. What does it mean? And make it machine readable.
So we already have that. That is the good news. Right, and then also, yeah, that's your point.
And then your third point, the human factor. And I think this is something that concerns many people at the moment. So what kind of jobs will AI take? the funny questions that we discussed with, I don't know who. Maybe it was Nicholas, our Nicholas, to say, okay, AI takes the junior jobs and the seniors will have a look on it or no. But somewhere the seniors will be retired. Where do the new seniors come from if you have no juniors? Yeah, these are questions.
How do you make sure that they still learn, right? The basics, right?
Exactly. And what is right and wrong?
Yeah, of course. It reminds me on back in school, actually, you know, this is one of the questions, and also my students, by the way, and I hate that question, is why do we learn this? Or what do we learn this for, right? And the honest answer, if you have some track record of education, right, then you understand you don't learn it to use it in life, not all of it. Problem is you don't know what you need later, right? Because the moment you learn it, it's not the same moment as you use it, right? There can be 10 years in between or 20 years, right? That's one thing. And the other thing is you don't learn the stuff itself. You learn how to learn. And you learn how to deal with new topics. You learn how you get the information and where do you get it from, right? This is on a meta level, you know, this is meta learning, right? So this is still around. And in AI, it's getting even worse. And the other thing that came to my mind when it, you know, the question is, we did see in the presentation of Elena and Martin at Prostip, we did see this, what was it, the squares where you said, okay, what kind of job is replaced by AI, more likely, less likely, whatever, right? And also Alexander Karp from Palantir, he said, there are two categories of people that will lose their job, that will keep their job. And this is people craftsmen's building something with their hands because robots are not comparable in their quality as LLMs yet, maybe in a couple of years, but not yet.
There's also big advancements at the moment.
Yes, but yeah, still, the LLMs are, you know, for good reasons in a hype mode in the moment. So the people building something, right? This was one of his categories. And the other thing is if you do a lot of more than just creative work, right? Drawing pictures is not creative enough for, you know, to some part at least. If you are able to think out of the box, to combine things that are not obviously connected, right? So if you are familiar, let's say, with philosophy or with history or whatever, right? Or a complete different field, and you see some pattern, good that we have that company name, by the way, and you see a pattern there and you say, why don't we do something similar that reminds me of something here? And then you recombine it and you come up with something new and you were influenced by something completely different. An LLM would never make that connection because it's so way off, right? Mm-hmm. So the real, really, the genius creativity, right? This is something that will not be replaced by AI. It's the second thing that he said. And I feel like that is true. And my point is this, what is the most likely jobs that can be, you know, made obsolete by AI? Things that are people in their daily work that are only recombining information that already exists somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Right? Research. No, it's not research. I don't want to say research. I want to say Recherchearbeit in German. What is that in English, right? So just looking for information and then, you know, finding the sources and, you know, make all of that available. Mm-hmm. That is something that Google helped a lot, but AI is, you know, making it even easier to get the right information in the right, you know.
And we know people even in Germany reading information in one IT system and writing it in another one.
This
should have been replaced by IT and not by AI, but And so I'm very curious what AI and robotics will change in manufacturing. Mm-hmm. Because I heard a very interesting thought a week ago, which said our factories at the moment are built for humans.
Yeah.
So that humans can move, that humans can reach everything, that humans can maintain things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that there shall be factories in China now, mm-hmm. which are built for machines.
Okay.
They have a totally different layout. Mm-hmm. And so they replaced even the worker who did something by hand.
Yeah, okay. Okay, yeah, that was the big goal in the past, right, in the 70s and 80s, when actual automation started, really, mm-hmm. right? There was this big factory at Volkswagen where they wanted to automate everything, and then they understood it's not possible, not in the way they thought it is. Mm. So I do agree. How will that be playing out in manufacturing? My hope will be, and I'm not sure if this, you know, not everybody will agree when I say this, but the good news to me is, in Germany at least, we have definitely in Germany, we have such a bureaucratic waterhead, right?
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of people sitting there doing nothing but getting data here, filling in some form, right, and then improving
on
it
on paper.
On paper, and then they keep on faxing it everywhere to someone else, right? That may actually be the easiest stuff to be replaced.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past, I thought, well, you get rid of bureaucracy by making things easier, right? And nobody wanted to have it easier because, you know, there are a lot of jobs involved. Now you can have the same complexity, but AI is doing it. Right, so mm-hmm. my hope is actually that we get rid of a lot of waterhead and all of that overhead, and those people can work on something more valuable, right? By definition, more mm-hmm. valuable.
But I have some doubts that the companies which got a contract now for doing this for Germany will reach that level of
not calling out any names, but will be the next billion grave potentially. Yeah, so, and my thought on this is also one additional thing about cognitive challenges for human mm-hmm. beings together with AI, right? In the end, we're still thinking, in all of the use cases we have been building up until now, our thinking was always, there needs to be at least at the end, someone, a human being, checking, verifying, is that information accurate, can we use it, is it valuable, right, mm-hmm. whatever. It still needs to understand how things work. Right, or what the domain is. Right.
Yeah. The answer of the AI was more a proposal.
Yeah. So that was our thinking up until now, more or less. Right. The question is, if that is the case, and AI is getting better, better, and better, and it's actually, let's say, I do this 100 times, some operation, I have a suggestion for a little bill of material, right? And 99% of the time, it will be perfect. I don't have to do anything. People get lazy by verifying mm-hmm. and then checking and reading, right? And if they, and then 99th time, they still keep on accepting because it's perfect, I can use it, very good, we can produce this, right? And what happens if the 1% of the time there is a mistake in it and they just click on accept, exact like with, you know, user agreements in the internet, right? what is happening then? And then one strategy, I'm not sure where I came, what reminded me of this, but one strategy is, that our system should include errors by on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a result of AI, and we say to the verification guy at the end, we tell him, there will always be at least one mistake. You have to check the whole document. There is always on purpose be one mistake in there. You have to find it, and you have to read everything, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe that's even not a good idea. So this is a question to psychologists out there, right? Should it be just one error? And the problem with that is if the error occurs, statistically speaking, right, too early, an official error, he will not read a full document at some point, right, because he's just looking for one. Or we say, well, there can be two or three, right, or whatever, right, or a number between one and ten, you have to read everything, right, and find those, and then maybe even mark them as, this was potentially your artificial error, and this is the real one, or whatever, right? And then he needs to review everything to make sure that, you know, the process actually works, because our processes are really, really critical.
Yeah. So maybe you can combine it with some gamification features.
Yeah.
At least for the users that accept them.
Yeah.
And then yeah.
Today you found all of the errors. You get a bigger bonus check at the end of the year, or some you know extra champagne at the Christmas party, whatever.
Employer of the week.
Employer of the week. Yeah. Employee of the week. Cool.
Oh yeah. Employee. Okay, so any more thoughts on this topic? So we did not speak too much about the software-defined industries, but I think that's that fills up a whole, at least one episode.
Definitely. So yeah, let's keep the second part of the title of PROCEP IWIP Symposium this year for another episode, right? What is this actually meaning? Software-defined industry, software-defined vehicle, software-defined whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep that for the future. From an AI perspective, so this is the three most important things we came up with. There are potentially way more, right? But that covers basically what we've been talking about the last 48 hours. And I'm still feeling exhausted, to be honest.
Yes.
Keep on talking all the time. My jaws hurt at the second day in the evening. I said, no more talking. I'm just listening. Yeah, that's how it goes.
All right. So,
cool.
That's it for now. Like, share, subscribe. On your favorite platform. Leave us a comment and see you next time.
See you. Bye-bye.